Our text for this morning is found in your pew Bible on page 987, if you wish to follow with me. Today, I'll be reading Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, a passage you are likely familiar with. Again, Romans 12, 9 through 16. Listen now and hear God's word for you. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the apostles' words that speak to us as this congregation. As we consider them and apply them in our lives, Lord, speak to each of us, not just as the church, but as members of it. It's in your name we ask this together. Amen. Today, with the red all around us and the communion before us, we celebrate the blessed occasion of commissioning missionaries to God's service. Sending missionaries to a place like Nepal is a bold step of faith for any congregation. Not just Plains in Cranberry. Any congregation. This is a big deal and a big moment. But before I commission them with your help as the congregation, I wonder, what are the expectations that these individuals agree to bear into a community where they are no longer the majority, but a visible minority? As Caucasians, we will be the ethnic minority in Nepal. And as Christians, our beliefs can make us theologically or spiritually the minority as well. But no one on the team believes that because we are the minority in either case, that our trip to Nepal will be hindered. In fact, I suspect that if you ask a team member right now, pull them aside and poll them, and they speak to you about their expectations, they will state with boldness, with passion, with faith, that they know in a deep personal way that God goes with them, and that this truth is sufficient for whatever is going to come as we enter Nepal, as we work with ICM, as we are present in the lives of the children of Elam. God goes with us. And that's all we need to know. But before I invite the mission team forward, I want to offer to you Paul's response to living in a world where he, like we on the mission team, was the minority. Using Romans 12, I will suggest that what Paul offers in this section of his letter to the church in Rome is of the utmost importance, not just for the mission team, but for you in your daily Christian living. The application of this text extends outward beyond just the 16 of us who are going on the trip and goes into the Christian community as well. As we take a closer look at the verses that I've selected for this morning, it is interesting, a first note to me, that there is no mention in this text of the practice of evangelism in what Paul tells the church to directly go and do. Certainly, it's inferred in what Paul says and in Paul's mission, but it's not stated directly. He never says, go share the gospel. The only mention of it, of God in the text even, is when the apostle uses God's presence as a means of identifying who the target audience for ministry is. All of God's people, he says. This gives us the understanding that presence is more important in this moment in Paul's mind than proper doctrine or belief structure. Spending time in the Nepali home, starting a conversation or encounter in the workplace, or the market, or the doctor's office. These are actions taken not necessarily as a means to begin an evangelistic conversation. Instead, practicing presence, as Paul suggested in the text, allows Jesus to inform how you respond to that individual God places before you. To love, to have solidarity with each other, as we are joyful and patient. That speaks for itself. As I have said before, we do not need to do anything directly because God is already at work in the lives of the children of Elam, the kids ICN is going to expose us to. When ICN was here with Planes back in the summer, Don mentioned, I'm hoping in passing, that he would organize a 3-on-3 soccer tournament between the Americans and the Nepali children. And the reason I say hopefully not is they'll beat our brains out at this. They will wail us. But that attitude and that graciousness of being scored on over and over again, of being unable to run any farther because I'm out of air and they're running past me like I'm standing still, that attitude of love and God's presence that will hopefully show on my face as I'm ready to fall over, speaks louder than most other things we could do while we're in Elam, because we are present. We have chosen to show up in God's children's lives, and God will use that somehow in a way we don't fully understand, even as the goals go raining on in. In being present, we demonstrate the value that the people of God have, as God values them as much as he values us. We step outside of our comfort zones and allow the Nepali people the space to thrive in their own world. Don't get me wrong, believing in the right thing is important. I spent many years, asked my wife in seminary, so I could tell you what the right thing to believe is. But in this case, in this place, using Paul's model, being present when the minority, both culturally and religiously, is more important than being able to confess the Apostles' Creed with the children. Certainly it has its place, but being present for Paul is more important. It's the first thing Romans 12 teaches me. This form of presence moves us into a mindset then where the mystery of God is revealed. I find Paul speaks about this in the second half of his letter. He says, quote, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position." Notice, if you will, the vagueness, specific vagueness in what's being said here. What are we rejoicing about? What makes the person feel blessed? How do we live in harmony with people we've never met before? We again value them. We do not browbeat them. We are present with them, and we let the mystery of God show up. A willingness to associate with low people of position does not mean acting like a Pharisee and smugly walking around because we come from a non-developing nation, so our piety must be greater than you down the street. It's in fact the opposite. We enter the mystery of God in the places where we are out of control, symbolically. And we trust that what blesses the other person, what blesses our hosts and those caring for us, what causes them joy, causes us to wonder, what is God up to in this moment in their lives? And that doesn't just work in Nepal. It works in Pittsburgh and the suburbs. It's a version of the same mystery that we enter into every single time we come before this table. Why does Jesus take the bread and the cup and pour it and break it for us? Why does he offer himself so freely to a people who will reject him in just a few hours? It's a mystery. And at this table, and in Elam, and in Pittsburgh, we have the chance to enter it, just as Paul wants the church in Rome to enter the mystery of being present in the life of another person, maybe someone we've never met. And so this table takes on a more symbolic meaning for us. It is a reminder of God's presence, a reminder to invite others to the table, as it is a reminder of the mystery of what goes on as I say the words of institution with you. Before we commission our mission team, as we continue to worship together, as we prepare to come to the table, Come noticing God's presence and come learning from his mystery. Will you pray with me together?